Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Please come with me to Isaiah chapter 60. We'll look at the first three verses, Isaiah 60. We are in a series focused on God's heroes, and today our hero Isaiah will remind us to shine your light for the Lord. It may help you to find that little piece of paper as you engage in this study. I learned early on as a little boy that there is danger in the dark. There is danger in the dark. That's how I would put it. As a kid, my favorite summer activity was to go fishing with my family at the Pertinalis River. As a matter of fact, I dug up these old pictures just to show you what we did. It wasn't very fancy, I can assure you. But there's my dad out in the middle of the Pertinalis River, about 70 miles from Georgetown, near Johnson City, Texas. And it was a rock river, and it was full of catfish. Now, there is me on the lower left-hand corner. I'm 7 years old. 1961 is the year. And beside me is a big old yellow catfish. We would fish with trot lines and throw lines and rod and reels. And, oh, I just loved it. It was better than Disney World to me. And beside, to the right, that picture to the right, that's my little sister. I'm one of five kids, and that's my sister, Iva June Wolf McLaughlin. And she was my little sidekick, and that was our dog. We named all of our dogs Lassie because they didn't last very long, and we would always just keep the same name even though the dogs changed. So there we were, me, Iva, Lassie, and here's what we would do. We would go out, and we would just fish all day and have fun and climb on the bluff, and we would had this cave called Buffalo Cave. We would go explore to get out of the heat. We would go down to the cool of the cave, but at night, it was my favorite part. After we had eaten and the girls had gone to bed with my little brother and mother, my dad and I would go fishing at night. And we would generally go up to the best catfishing hole. It was called the Hickory Hole. And we would walk up to the Hickory Hole, generally about 9, 10 o'clock at night. And one night, I'm 7 years old. I remember it like it was yesterday. My dad had the bucket of bait. He had the rods and reels in his right hand. He had a little flashlight. We didn't have fancy equipment, but just a little flashlight. We were walking along, and there, all of a sudden, he said, "Stop, Jay boy, stop." I was lagging behind him. I was just daydreaming about a big fish I would catch. I wasn't right up underneath him. I was lagging behind him. And every time that I would come to the river, I would always get me a walking stick. I would find a stick and get out my knife, and I would kind of carve on it, and it would be a stick that would have been a driftwood piece of stick, but it was strong. And Dad said, "Jay boy, right up in front of us, right in the middle of the path, there's a rattlesnake. And that rattlesnake was all coiled up. And that rattlesnake was right in our path." Now, I've never been a fan of rattlesnakes, and I don't want to offend you if you are. But Daddy saw that snake, and he said, "Hand me your stick." So he grabbed that stick, and my dad was a true Texas cowboy, kind of a fearless guy. And he got up real close to that snake, and that snake was going, just singing, rattling. Dad just went, pop, hit him right on the head and killed him dead. Well, let me say it better. He dispatched the diamond back to the great beyond in that moment. I don't want to seem insensitive or anything, but he killed that snake dead. And my point is, there's danger in the dark. Because Dad had the light, I can assure you from that spot forward, I latched onto his belt and I was following him because I hate snakes. I stayed in that pool of light that he was creating as we went to the Hickory Hole. Well, I think that you would agree with me that we live in a dark and a dangerous world. So God calls us to walk in his light. Not only to walk in his light, but to be sharers of his light. That's why Jesus said in John 8, verse 12, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows after me, you won't walk in darkness. You will have the light of life." But then he gives us an assignment in Matthew chapter 5. He says, "You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine among men that they may see the Father's, see your good works, and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You see, when you fuse those two assignments, we are to walk in the light and talk about the light, share the light of the Lord with our world. So let me ask you a question. Here's the big question. Write this down. Do you glow for God? Are you taking seriously your assignment to follow Jesus, walk in the light, and then become His light in the dark world? Do you glow for God? For instance, in Acts chapter 6, verse 15, we encounter a great moment in the life of a guy named Stephen. He was one of the first deacons. And the Bible simply says that Stephen was a man full of the Holy Spirit and grace, and God's light showed up on his face. As a matter of fact, the people who condemned Jesus were interviewing Stephen, and they simply said that his face, his countenance, was aglow with the light of God. Now, is that what people say about you? When they look at you, do they see the glow of God? Oh, I wish you could have come with me on the first day of Bible school. We had all these kids here, but who was glowing for God would have been the hundreds of volunteers. My little grandson, James, we had him come from California so he could come to our vacation Bible school so that we could pour God's truth into his tender young heart. And I walked him in to the second grade vacation Bible school class. And there was Diane McCreary. Now, if you know Diane McCreary, you know she looks like she swallowed a light bulb. I mean, her face just glows, like 150 watts glowing out of her face. And then there was Candy Tucker, and she looked like she had swallowed the same light bulb. She was just glowing for God. And there was Kelly Haynes. They didn't even need a light in that room because there was so much light illuminating from the teachers. You see, that's the goal of God, that we walk in His light, and then we become His light in this dark and dangerous world. So the question comes, are you glowing for God? When people see you, do they see the Lord? Remember Stephen, he had this glow for God on his face. And my friend, if you have Jesus in your heart, please be sure to tell your face. It's always disturbing when you see people who say, yeah, the joy of the Lord is my strength. You see, if the Lord Jesus has come and inhabited you and He's illumined the dark places of your soul, that ought to show up. You ought to glow for God. Well, that's what Isaiah is going to say. Let's come now to Isaiah chapter 60. And this is a chapter written against the backdrop of tough times in Israel. The Israelites have been taken into captivity. They are in exile. They are in the dark. They're defeated. They're desperate. And yet Isaiah points them to a time when God will redeem them. He points them to their Messiah. But he also gives us our daily assignment. So let's pick up in verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And behold, darkness covers the earth. Deep darkness covers the people. But the Lord will rise upon you, and His glory will appear upon you. And the nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for becoming, in this dark world, our living light, the source of our eternal life. Lord, I thank you that you've called us to share the assignment of being your bright, radiant reflection in this dark, cold, hurting, dying world. Lord, I pray that these words from Isaiah would come alive in our lives. I ask that you would get me out of the way and that your Spirit would deposit your truth in every receptive heart. We pray for that in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Well, this is our assignment, and it's a timeless assignment. And I want you to learn to follow God's instructions. So let's pick up with number one. If you are dead, God says, arise. If you are dead, God says, arise. The first word in the prophecy is arise. And you can only arise if you are dead or down. So let's assume that God here is speaking to the human condition. That without the Lord, we are dead in our trespasses and sins. That's what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Look on your worksheet. The Apostle Paul summed it up so beautifully, so powerfully, so simply when he said, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins." That is our situation, friends. Jesus had an interview with Nicodemus in John chapter 3. We studied it in Vacation Bible School. It was a powerful lesson. Here was this wealthy man, influential. He was a very big ruler in the Sanhedrin. And he came to Jesus by night because no doubt he did not want anybody to know that he was talking to a country street preacher who was uneducated, some rube from Nazareth. So he sneaks in at night to avoid the crowd knowing that he is consulting with this potential Christ. And Jesus instantly takes an x-ray of his soul. Jesus sees that he's a good man, but he's not God's man. He's got religion, but he has no relationship with the living God. You see, if God is life and you don't have God, do you know what that means you get? You get a big slice of death. You see, without God, there's death. That's why the Bible says that Jesus looked at Nicodemus, and in John 3:3, he says, "Nicodemus, you need to be born again. You don't just need to turn over a new leaf or get better educated. You need a new life." Now imagine this. Let me bring this to your attention in the form of an illustration. Let's imagine that we were out walking on the beach at Destin. Oh, we're walking in the sugar white sand, and it's near evening, and all of a sudden we walk upon a dead seagull. And there was that beautiful bird just lying there, its beak buried in the sand. It's lifeless. It's not moving. And let's just imagine that one of the kids runs up to the seagull and says, "Hey, this seagull needs a better diet. If this seagull was just had better nutrition, maybe got some vitamins, I bet he'd be all better." Or what if one of the kids said, "You know what the seagull really needs? It just needs some better education and some more lessons on how to fly." Or maybe the cosmetologist among them said, "If we just gave the wings some wax and we painted that little seagull's toenails, I bet it'd be all right." No, no, no. That seagull doesn't need a new leaf. That seagull needs a new life. And friends, that's who we are. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the source of our life, we are dead in our trespasses and sin. Listen to what else Jesus said. Jesus said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, and whosoever believes in him will not perish." The point is, we are perishing. The word perish means you are dying, you're dead. So that's the human condition. We don't just need better education, better diet, clean you up. You don't need a new leaf. You need a new life. That's why Jesus said in John 1, he said in verse 4, "In him was life, and that life was the light of men." That's why Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 24 and 25, he said, "I've come to transfer you out of the kingdom of death and transfer you into the kingdom of life." Because without him, we are dead. So Isaiah says, "Arise." That's exactly what Jesus said to Lazarus. The chief claim of Jesus is on your outline. It's in John 11. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though he die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" It was as if Jesus was giving a children's sermon. He moves to the grave of Lazarus. They open up this grave that was a cave, and Jesus says, "Lazarus, come forth," to demonstrate that he is the one who has power over death and can bring you to life. He brings Lazarus back. That's what Jesus does. He is the God of resurrection and the God of life. So he says to you, "Arise." Now, let me give you a point of application. Every time you look at the sun is 93 million miles away. It burns at 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's the source of life on earth. It starts the chain of photosynthesis that creates life on planet Earth. Every time you look at the sun, be reminded of the S-O-N of God, who brings life to you for eternity. Let's go to number two. If you are dim and dull, God says, shine. If you are dim and dull, God says, shine. Arise and shine, for your light has come. Now, friends, I want to make this come alive to you, so let me ask you this question. If you are supposed to shine, and Jesus has already told you in Matthew 5 that you're to be the light of the world, what would you rate your wattage to be? Like, if you were a light bulb, would you be one of those little slender bulbs that puts out about 10 watts? You know, just a little night light? What kind of wattage would you have? Would you be one of those 100-watt bulbs or 300-watt bulbs? What kind of light would you be? You know, sometimes I meet people and they come to Christ and they remind me of a bottle rocket. You know how a bottle rocket works? I started to do this, but Kenny told me I couldn't. If you light that rocket, it would shoot high in the sky for a minute. It would pop, it'd go off, it'd look really great for a minute, and then it would be gone. That's how some people operate in their Christian life. Man, something happens to them and they just go shooting high in the sky and they look bright for a minute and then they're gone. Other people remind me of a sparkler. Do y'all ever like to play with sparklers on the 4th of July? Yeah, I do too. I started to light this one too, but I thought better of it. I would just sure hate to start a fire here among us. But imagine that sparkler. When it starts to burn, it will burn and it'll sizzle and then it'll fizzle. How would you like to have to read your homework or your Bible by the light of a sparkler? Wouldn't be very helpful, would it? So what's your wattage? Are you just like a bottle rocket, or are you a sparkler? Or maybe you're just a candle. Nothing's wrong with a candle. You know what I like about a candle? Just glowing, steady, eddy for God. You can read by a candle. And there's great power in being that steady candle. But you know what I want to be? Man, I want to be this light. That's what I want to be for Jesus. Man, I want to be the kind of light that's got about 1,000 lumens. And I can light up that which is dark in this broken, fallen world. Don't you want to be that kind of bonfire for God that makes a difference? You see, what is your wattage? That's what God is asking. Now, I want you to understand, look on your worksheet what Jesus said. Jesus said it clearly, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You see, you need that light. You need that light. And here's the way you shine bright. It's when you align with the light. It's like me as a little kid, I latched onto my daddy's belt because I didn't want to run into another rattlesnake in the middle of the path. So I'm staying in the light. I'm staying attached to the Father. When you align with the light, you'll shine bright. That's how it works. And you need to, because light is so important. Jesus said, I am the light. Now, always remember what light does for you. Number one, light reveals. Light reveals what you can't see. And so many people stumble around in the dark. But Jesus is your light. And remember, Jesus is the Word of God. It says in Psalm 119, verse 105, Thy Word is a lamp to my feet, it's a light to my path. When you open up the Word of God, you turn on the light. You don't have to walk around in the darkness. You don't have to stumble and dance with dumb and make stupid mistakes and ruin your witness and hurt other people. You see, the Word of God illumines your path. So that's why it's imperative that you know the truth of God's Word, because God's Word reveals His will so you can do His work and you don't waste your life. Heard about a young farmhand that lived a long time ago, and he came to his boss and he said, Hey, Mr. Farmer, tonight I'm going out on a date with my best girl. Can I borrow the kerosene lantern? And the farmer said, What do you need a kerosene lantern for? That's just a waste of time and money. When I dated my wife, I didn't bring a light. The young man said, Yes, sir, and look what you got. There's a point. You don't want to walk around in the dark because you may not like what you get. God's word, His truth, His light reveals that which is hidden. Light also grows. You see, the sun grows the green grass on the earth. It's starting photosynthesis. But you want to grow in the Lord. It says in Colossians 2:6, you grow up in Christ as you live in His light. You see, light reveals, it grows. Light secures. Light gives you a sense of security, doesn't it? Have you ever had that experience where at night you hear a thump in the back of the house? And maybe it's something that falls or hits in the back. What do you do? I always say, hey, Mary Ruth, did you hear that? Darling, you want to go check that out? Just see what that was back in the back or in the attic or outside? Would you? No, I missed her. Go check it out. But man, I don't go in the dark. I get my light. I turn on the lights, and you do too. You know why? Because light gives you a sense of security. That's what David said in Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I dread? Turn on the light and find His security. Turn on the light, grow in Christ. Turn on the light, reveal what God wants you to do. You see, walk in the light and then become His light. The other scripture on your worksheet is Matthew chapter 5. There Jesus gives us this amazing assignment. He says, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. I love the writings of Robert Fulghum. He wrote this book, Everything I Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. Near the end of the book, he tells this great story about his being a Baylor University student, and he has gone to do a summer seminar in Greece. And they've done it for a week. It's the last lecture, and it's the last moment. Dr. Alexander Papadopoulos has been leading the way. He's a brilliant Greek philosopher. And Robert Fulghum, at the end of the lecture, the end of the week, just to be funny, raises his hand, and the professor has just asked for the last question. Anybody have a last question before we leave? And Robert Fulghum, just to draw a laugh, he says, yes, professor, what is the meaning of life? And everybody laughs for a moment, and they think the professor will dismiss it. But instead, he says, Robert, I'm glad you asked. And he digs down into his wallet, and he pulls out from his wallet a mirror. And he said, let me tell you about this mirror. He said, when I was a young boy, the Germans, the Nazis, had invaded my section of Greece. And a resistance fighter, had shot a motorcycle rider and killed him, and he wrecked on his bike. And in the wreck, he broke off the mirror of his motorcycle. Well, he said, I found it. And I didn't have any toys, and I decided to turn that mirror into my toy. And I determined that I could reflect the light of the sun back into crevices and into dark places. And for hours, I would play with my mirror, and I would shine my light onto the dark places. They said, as I grew up to be an adult, I realized as I came to Christ that my life is really a mirror. And I am to take the light of Christ and shine it back into the dark places, into the crevices of life, into dark and broken hearts. And he said, that is the meaning of my life. Friends, that's what Jesus said. You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine that people may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And that brings us to the last point. The last point is, if you are different, God says share. If you are different, God says share. The scripture tells us in Isaiah 60, that when you shine your light, that nations will come to your light, and that kings will be drawn even to the brightness of your light. And what I would suggest to you is, and again, refer to your outline, you who once were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord, live as children of the light. And then listen to what 1 Peter 3:15 enjoins us to do. It says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. In this dark world, you should consistently walk as a child of the light and talk about Jesus, the light of your world. That is your assignment. Now, I want to give you an opportunity to use a new tool that's been developed here at First Baptist. As a matter of fact, this is going to be amazing. I want to suggest for the rest of this summer, we engage in a campaign called betterlives.info. This was created by our own Brian Carnett for our youth choir tour, and Chip used it so effectively when they went to Chicago. We bought thousands of these wristbands. They just cost pennies. And you know how people do these wristbands, the Live Strong wristband, and they've got every kind of wristband. Well, we've got literally thousands of these, and we want you to take these. We've got them out in the foyers, but take these and give them out. Maybe when you're at a restaurant, maybe when you meet somebody at the ballpark or a business associate and say, I've discovered in Jesus Christ, I have a better life. Pretty simple testimony. And so you can go on your smartphone, on anything. You can go to this website. It's our website, betterlives.info. And do you know what they will find there? The ABCs of salvation. Exactly like we shared in Vacation Bible School, the ABCs of salvation. You'll find it right here. And then it will attach a person who gives their life to Christ to our website so that they can get connected to us and start to grow. So I want to give you a challenge. You see, if you are different and you have had a transformed life and people are being drawn to you, don't waste that opportunity. Give them an opportunity to connect to the light. And you can do that with this new tool. Let's see what God happens, what God will do, and what will happen as you give this out. Well, here's the bottom line. Would you make the last note? It's time to decide. God says, glorify me. If you'll shine your light, you'll bring glory to me. I love missionary stories. A.W. Milne was born in Aberdeen, Scotland. In 1765, he arose from the dead, so to speak, and he connected his life to Jesus Christ. He started following the Lord. He started shining a bright light of witness, and then God put upon his heart that he should become a missionary, along with people like Hudson Taylor and William Carey, and be sent out by the British Missionary Society, and he was sent to Papua New Guinea, specifically to a group of people that were headhunters and cannibals. He had the courage to go to cannibals. By the way, do you know why a cannibal does not eat a clown? Because they taste funny. Anyway, they didn't eat A.W. Milne. They let him come, and for 30 years, he lived with them. He loved them. And the light of Christ began to draw people into the family of God. And literally thousands of people came to follow Christ. He died in the year 1822. And a group of converts asked that they write his epitaph on his gravestone. You can see it today. And here is what it says. Here lies the earthly remains of A.W. Milne. When he came to us, there was no light. When he died, there was no darkness. May that be said of us. Let's pray. Gracious Father, thank you. Thank you that in this dark world, you are the provider of our eternal life-giving light. We don't have to stumble in the dark, but we can step into your light and follow you. Father, I pray that right now, the light of your Spirit would be bursting forth in this room, and that you would convict those who need to arise and find you a Savior, and you would motivate all of us to shine our bright light on your behalf. I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.